The Lord will judge in righteousness is what we sang, and that's what we also see in this passage that we're about to read in Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25, the last section in it, from verse 31 to the end, speaks of the Son of Man who will come to judge the nations, when Christ will come again. Matthew chapter 25, and we'll begin at the verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me." And then he will also say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." And then they also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick and in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did it not to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." This far our scripture reading and our focus for this morning. Now, dear congregation, have you ever thought that you would need to take your guest book to heaven? Now, it's true that most of us don't have a literal guest book in our house that people sign. The church might, in the back, have a book to sign for guests. But some of us do remember our past through pictures and photos, and some of you might even remember the old reel-to-reel videos that your parents had, and you can get them digitized, you can look through all the photos, and you can see where you've been. You can see who has come to visit you over the years, and what friends you've made, what acquaintances. But as you go through all these photos and histories and memories of your life, can you see where Christ has come to your home? Has the Lord Jesus Christ ever visited your house? Is his name recorded in your guest book? Because here we read that the day is coming when we will be standing at the door of the Father's house, the house of Christ's Father, the day when we will see Christ face to face. And some he will invite in and he'll say, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom that's prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And those who he receives into his Father's house will be those who have received him, Christ, into our house. Verse 35 says, I was a stranger, and you took me in. And so this morning, I would like to return as well to our study in Peter. We made it up to 1 Peter chapter 4, and the next verse is verse 9 you want to consider. And there it says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. And with that text in mind, that won't be the text for today, but with that text in mind, I would like to begin preaching some sermons on hospitality. The first one being here from Matthew 25. And today, the title for today's sermon is Christ in your guest book? And we can begin looking at this because in the first thought, is Christ in your guest book? And the first thought is, the first point is because Christ will read your guest book. Christ will read your guest book. We might have guest books, like for a wedding or a special occasion, and we don't use them, we don't look at them very often, but maybe on a special occasion when the friends come over, we'll open it up again and see what's in there. You might look at that wedding guest book and see who was there, or look for that friend's name who's visiting and say, look, here's your name, and this is what you wrote. But the special occasion when God will open your guest book is at the end of the world. Verse 31 says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. And there it says, all the nations of all the world will be gathered around him. And Revelation 20, verse 12 says, and the books will be opened. And we will be judged according to what is written in those books, whether it is good or whether it's bad. And then it's not just simply looking back on a few nice memories in our life. Because when an old friend visits us, we might look at that guest book and see what they wrote and what was special about them being there. But now verse 31 says, Christ will sit on that throne and he will ask for our guest book. And Jesus himself will read the guest book and he will look for his name. He will want to know, has he been to your house as a friend? Or will he only be sitting there as your judge? And so why is he so interested in the guest book? Well, we know that Jesus himself knows what it's like to be a stranger. He came into this world, he was born in a stable, in a manger, because there was no room for him in the inn. A stranger. He walked on this world. He said it had no place to lay his head. He sat at the well asking for water from a woman who did not know him and he did not know her. He was a stranger. John 1 says he came to his own. His own received him not. Isaiah goes further and says he was despised and rejected of men. We hid our faces from him. We closed the door in his face. We wanted nothing to do with him. He was a stranger on this earth. He was cast out. He was crucified on the cross by his own people. He's interested in our guest book because he himself was a stranger looking for lodging. Just like Abraham in Canaan and Joseph in Egypt and every Christian in this world. Strangers here below. And then he will look back and he will remember the time that he was invited into your place. But now, not just as a friend, but now he's a glorified King of Kings, sitting on that throne of glory as a judge of heaven and earth, ready to judge the living and the dead. And Christ will see in our guest book if he has ever been to see us, to see if we have learned to know him, or if he is still a stranger to us. He will read our guest book either as a friend or as a judge. And why is that important? We see in the second place the result. The result of Christ reading our guest book. What will be the result when Christ reads our guest book, children? Well, this passage describes quite clearly what happens. In verse 32, it says there will be a total and a final separation. And they present it here in a list of opposites. Here we can see as all the nations are gathered around him, just like you gather some friends around you when you have an evening together. But here all the people of all the world, of all the ages, all the dead shall rise and be present in front of him wherever they died, wherever they were buried, wherever their bodies disintegrated. They'll be brought to life and into his presence. And you can imagine what anticipation there might be on that day when everyone who ever lived in all the history of the world is there. But then it says he will begin to separate them. The sheep from the goats, like a shepherd would take a sheep to the one side, to the one pen, or the goats to the other pen. And so there's two groups, and only two groups. And that means that you and I will belong to either one of the groups or the other. There's no third path to take. There's no third party that the Lord sends us to. And of each of these two groups, we hear a final word of judgment spoken to each of the two groups. Verse 34 says, "Come, you blessed of my Father." Compare to the other one in verse 41 where it says, "Depart, you cursed." Two words of final judgment, but also two final destinations. It says the friends will inherit the kingdom and all the blessings that come with it, enter into the inheritance. Compare to the strangers where he says, "Depart into everlasting fire." And fire consumes everything. Those on his right hand will receive everything, every blessing that comes with the kingdom. But on those on the left, fire consumes and have nothing left, destroyed. And we see even the purpose of each of these places, each destination has a purpose. Verse 34 says, "The kingdom was prepared for you from the foundation of the world." That shows that you and I were born to know God, to glorify God, to enjoy Him forever. We were not born to die. Adam and Eve were created to live. It's because of sin, the curse of sin, that death has come into this world. Children can ask, why does everything have to die? It's because of sin and the curse that came because of our sin. But we were not created to die, but the kingdom was prepared for you. But verse 41 says the everlasting fire was prepared for the devil and his angels. We were not created to be cast into hell, but God created hell because of the angels and the devil's disobedience, their rebellion, and there's no salvation for them. They will be cast away forever. And so this is why God comes into this world, the gospel, to call people to repentance, all people everywhere to repent and to be delivered from this death that we have hanging over our head because of the curse of our sin. He says this is not the intention, but you can now find that salvation, that deliverance through Jesus Christ. And that is why Christ came into this world as a stranger. So that he could take our place and lay down his life as a ransom. He came to pay that ransom price so that he could release you from the penalty of death and from the condemnation of hell forever. Christ died so that you can receive eternal life again. Free. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But then thirdly, the reason that Christ reads our guest book. The reason why Christ reads our guest book. Children or young people, everyone who's been to school or especially high school and college, you've heard the teacher say, the time is up. Please hand in your exam papers. And whatever you have written, you've written. You can't add anything more. You can't take anything away. And here God is saying, this is your exam paper. Hand in your guest book. Time is up. Now, he's not talking about a literal guest book. We all know that we don't have a guest book in our house normally. But this is a guest book not written with pen and ink. But it's a guest book written by the Spirit on our heart. It's by our works and by our actions that the Spirit of God records in the books, Revelation 20. And the reason Christ reads our guest book is because there he can see if he has called us his friends and his brethren. And he's reading our guest book, as I said, to see if his name is in your guest book. I was a stranger and you took me in. And then Christ will open the door to his Father's house only for friends and only for brethren, for family. And there Christ will separate the people from all the nations using this one item, this one distinction. He uses it for Jew and for Gentile, for Canadians, for Dutchmen, for Mexicans, for Chinese or Korean or for the remote tribes in the jungle. It's nothing to do with our class or our social status or our gender. But the question is, have you taken Christ in? Because in verse 35, he explains his reason for opening the door of his Father's house for his friends. It begins with the word for. This is an explanation. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. And this means, children, that Christ is no longer a stranger to you because you met him before. In this world, we open our doors to strangers sometimes and we invite them in, and but heaven's door is only open to friends and to families. And he will say to them, come in to my Father's house because you're no longer a stranger, but your family, your children, your heirs with Christ. Because here, when we take a stranger into our house, we begin to talk with them. We ask them their name. We ask them where they're from. We ask them what they do. We learn their story. We learn their history. And then the next time you come across them in this world, you can greet them as a friend. He's no longer a stranger, but now you know them. And so it is with God. You're no longer a stranger to God if you have met Christ. If Christ has come into your house, and you've learned to know his name, if you learn to know what he has done, his name is Jesus, because he shall save his people from their sins. You learn about his work, his atoning work on the cross, that he has come to save sinners from their sins. And then Jesus says to you, come in, blessed of my Father, you're no longer a stranger, but you're a brother. Enter eternal life. And what is that eternal life? John says eternal life is to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. To know Jesus Christ. Has he ever been to your house, to your heart? Have you learned to know the name of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Because on the other hand, we see the reason that God gives for closing the door of heaven and separating the goats to his left side and saying, cursed. It says in verse 43, because I was a stranger and you did not take me in. See, these people are judged by what they did not do, by what's not recorded in their guest book, because those blank pages will testify against us. On any exam, you only receive a mark for the questions you've completed. If you leave questions empty, you'll get a zero, you'll get a failing grade. It means you did not know the answer. And these people do not know the answer. They do not know Christ. They do not know God. They've never met Him. They've never learned to know Him. They've never received Him into His house. And to them, Jesus will have to say, "Depart from me, I never knew you. Depart, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared not initially for you, but for the devils and his angels." And that's where they will have to continue. But then in their fourth thought, their reaction to Christ reading our guest book, because we see the reaction to this judgment. Both groups, both people are equally surprised. And that's interesting. Verse 37 and verse 44 both say, "When did we see you, Lord?" And Christ answers them in verse 40. He says, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the least of one of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And what can we learn from these reactions? Well, the reactions of the believer shows us that salvation is all of Christ, of grace, and not of our works. Why is that? Because the believer did not earn it. And then why does God read our guest book? Well, because the guest book is the evidence. It's the record of God's grace and Spirit at work in your heart. It's the evidence of your faith in Christ, because faith in Christ is demonstrated in your life by your love to God and your love to your neighbor. So your guest book is not just a checklist. You have to have so many people over into your house in order to go to heaven. No. We're not saved because of our works. We're not saved based on our works. But our works are only the result, the fruit, the evidence of being saved, of knowing Christ. Christ said, "By their fruits you shall know them." And if He says that to us, that we can know other Christians even by their fruits, how much more do you think that Christ will examine us by our fruits? How much more will Christ know you by your fruits that are recorded in the book of heaven? See, Christ Himself has merited His salvation for His people, full and free. He alone has fulfilled the requirements of the law. He alone has checked off all the boxes, so to speak, of God's law to do His will and His law perfectly. But our guest book is important, because faith without works is dead, James 2 verse 20 says. So there must be evidence of a living faith. And we are judged by what is recorded in our guest book, because that is where the evidence is found. That is where the evidence is recorded. And if you're thinking, "Well, I better go home and start inviting people over," then you're still looking at it wrongly. You're still looking at it as a works of righteousness. We have to begin by looking at Christ. Has He been to our house? But here, what a blessing, isn't it, children of God, that God is the one Himself who reads our guest book. That God is the one who not only reads it, but that God is the one who writes in it. When the guests come over to your wedding, the guests are the one who fill in the guest book, not you. If that was left to us, we would not have any entries. But Christ says, "I was a stranger, and you took me in, and I recorded my name in your guest book with my Spirit. Inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, my family, you did it to me." It begins with Christ, doesn't it? He was in the world, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. Every one of us can testify that we have slammed the door shut in Christ's face when he came to us initially. That is how we are born into this world, our heart's enmity with God, and he comes and he knocks on the door of our heart saying, "Open unto me." His gospel comes to you saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and repent." But then John goes on and says, "But as many as have received him, to them gave he the authority, the right, the power to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, to all who entertained this blessed stranger by faith, who took Christ in by faith, as you heard of him in the preaching or reading of his word. He took him in, that means you believe on his name. When we receive Christ by faith, and even trembling, even weak, even mixed with doubts, the Holy Spirit then comes and he begins to fill in that guest book. First entry, Christ was a stranger, but taken in by this little boy, this little girl, this man, this woman. Christ was let into this heart. And still sometimes we might say as we continue on in our life, "Lord, when did we see you? Have I really believed in your name? Do I truly believe?" Then that grace that Christ brought with him begins to work in your heart and grow. Just like the flowers that people leave behind when they come to visit, you see them grow and blossom in your house. It adds a fragrance and a beauty. And every time the Spirit continues to record in your guest book, "And as much as you did it to the least of these, you've done it to me." Your love for Christ is shown by the care for others. Here's another visitor. Here's another word of encouragement you gave to this person. Here's another cup of cold water in Christ's name. Here's another sick person you visited in Christ's name. And what a blessing that God records, because what would we write? See, the guest book is not so much for us, or for God, sorry, as it is for us. Because Christ is showing us what he has worked in our hearts with his Holy Spirit. That we who were once strangers to God, enemies to God, can now be called blessed of my Father, children and heirs with Christ. As Ephesians 2 says, "Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens and saints and members of the household of God. And how much more shall we then entertain strangers in this world, because Christ took, or God took us in as strangers and made us sons and daughters." And even as we visit with people in this world, who knows how God will even use that meeting, that visit, to work in their hearts and to work in our hearts. And so we see the reaction of believers here shows us that your motive is never a ticket to heaven. It's never just simply to go to heaven, because when did we see you, Lord? It's not to earn our way. It's not trying to get to heaven by works, but it's born out of a love to God and to our neighbor, a genuine compassion and a mercy. James 1 verse 27 says, "Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction." And then you are surprised that even these little acts are worth anything in the sight of God. You simply do it out of a love for them, a love for God, a compassion. We're aware of our shortcomings. We wish we could do more, but we're so limited. We feel our own weakness. We feel our own helplessness. We're never content with ourselves, are we? We would want a guest book that is thousands of pages long before we could ever be satisfied, but we cannot be. We never could be satisfied with our own deeds. And we never think that we're actually serving God so much. You think of Abraham when the three men came to him, two angels and the Lord himself. He entertained strangers, not knowing that it was angels. But he did it out of the goodness of his heart. Lot did not know it was angels that he was rescuing from the wickedness of Sodom and took him into his house. The woman at the well did not know it was Christ sitting there asking her for water. We didn't think of Lazarus, who was laid at the gate of the rich man, and he sat there begging. He never had a guest book. He never had a house to invite guests to. He never had extra food to share with his people. The only guests he had were the dogs to lick the wounds on his feet and legs. And yet his guest book was full of Christ. But on the other hand, the reaction of the unbelievers also shows us that salvation is not by works. How is that? Oh, often when you speak to unbelievers, they say, oh, I'm a good person. I like to help people in need. I take care of my family. I work diligently, try to help others. But self-love is the pen that writes on their own heart. And in verse 44, they also asked the Lord, when did we see you? It's almost like an interrogation. In other words, if we would have known it was you, we would have stopped. We would have helped. If we would have known that we could have gone to heaven then, we would have helped. But their actions are always out of self-love, self-interest, instead of the love for God and their neighbor. Yes, everybody has some compassion and some pity to other people, but it's in a humanism perspective. They saw no need to help. One day we were traveling home from the city with a group of young people, friends. And as we were driving home, we passed an accident on the road and we saw there was enough people there stopped and helping, so we kept on going. But a few minutes later, we got a phone call and said that accident, that was the other group of friends. They need a ride home now. And so we turned around and went back and picked them up. If we would have realized who it was the first time we drove by, we would have stopped immediately, wouldn't we have? And likewise, these people are saying, Lord, if we knew that was you, we would have stopped. But now they walked right on past. In Luke 16, the rich man who saw Lazarus sitting at his gate begging for food, he saw him every day. But he did nothing. But when the Lord came to read the guest book of this rich man, he found it empty. And he was cast into everlasting fire. While Lazarus, it says, was brought into heaven. Jesus is saying these people have no entries in their logbook. And those blank pages testify against him. There's no evidence of a living faith. And what that means is that we can simply coast our way to hell, boys and girls, with doing nothing. We can sit back and relax, which is a dream of many. We can carry the name of Christian and but be dead. A faith without works is dead, an empty faith. And that's a recipe for a certain disaster. Failing or neglecting to do what we should do because we have no interest. Those who see a brother naked and destitute of daily food, but we did nothing, James 2:16 says. But the root of the matter is this. They have never received Christ into their hearts. And Jesus says in Revelation 3:20, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. But every action and every deed of their life reveals that they have no love for Christ, that they have no knowledge of him, no desire to receive him into their house. In fact, they'd be embarrassed if he ever did show up. If Christ would walk into your house today, what would you have to throw out? What would you have to rearrange? what would you have to adjust? When Christ pages through their guest book, he does not find his name. Verse 45, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. Would a God-fearing man and woman be comfortable in your house, in your room? Can they see that Christ is there? Because if not, Christ will say, depart from me, I never knew you. You're still a stranger, and strangers cannot enter my Father's house. But then, dear believer, this reaction shows us that Christ will receive all the glory for our salvation. You remember, children, don't you, when your grandparents come, how nice it is, how exciting it is. But then when the time comes when you are going to your grandparents' house, it might even be more exciting. Can't wait to go to Grandma and Grandpa's house. It seems like that's all you can talk about. And so it is with God's people when the time draws near. They know they'll be going to their Father's house soon. It's all they can talk about. He must increase and I must decrease. Hear of the late Pastor Prosse, who passed away, who spoke so highly of Christ. Worthy is the Lamb, God is faithful. Then becomes a greater wonder day after day that we can be saved at all. Because when did we see you, Lord? What did we ever do in our life that is worthy of heaven? How little we took strangers in. How often we shut the door on Christ. How many people we neglected. But in Christ is everything. Because he is the one who came and visited us. Even when we were enemies. And then to hear on that day, come, blessed of my Father, enter in to the kingdom, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world, because my name is in your guest book, not because of you, but because of Christ. Amen.